Okay. Can I drop them? I can't see, and I'm a visual person. For me not to be able to see y'all, it's going to mess with me. There, is that better? Can you hear? Can y'all hear?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. All right, hello. My name is Megan, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. I'm learning very slowly what it's like to be loved by him. I struggle with control. I struggle with codependency, and I struggle with not being enough, good enough, smart enough, thin enough. You can fill in the blank, and I struggle with it. So, yes, that's me. Hello. So, about a month ago, I spoke at our Wednesdays at Broadway here at the church, and Wendell came up to me after, and he said, "We never have women that teach, and so I would love for you to come teach." And I was like, "Sure, I'll come teach." Right? You know, I was on my high. It was like that same week. And he said, "Well, we're going to talk about four different things, and I want you to choose one. We're going to talk about depression, and we're going to talk about anger, fear, and shame." And so if you've been here in the past year, 9 months or so, you know that shame is something that I've really struggled a lot with, and at the time, I'm on the other side of it. And so I was like, first, I said, "Oh, I'll talk about shame, because I've got that down." And then I thought about it, and I was like, "Oh, I don't think I can talk about that, so I'll talk about fear." So tonight, I'm going to talk to you all about fear. I will give you a little disclaimer that I'm not an expert on fear. I haven't researched it and like dug deep into the topic. So tonight will be more of like my take on fear, my perspective of it. And I know that for a lot of people, their fears and how they live with it is a lot different than mine, so I'm not trying to take away from anybody's. This is just Megan's take on fear tonight. So, but Loretta, I was like, she knocked it out of the park in the first 2 minutes. I was like, "Oh, I don't know how I'm gonna follow that up." Like, that was some good stuff. But anyway, so if you had asked me a year ago if I struggled with fear, I would have told you no, because I didn't think I did struggle with fear. And I'm like, everybody's scared of something. So like the whole snakes and the dark and what else? Spiders, heights, and stuff. But that wasn't what I really would have thought about if you'd asked me, "Do you struggle with fear?" Not to demean these, because any of these can be debilitating on their own. If there was a mouse right here, or I was up really high, I could very easily be like momentarily paralyzed, freak out. So I know that they can cause us to do crazy things. But these type of fears really don't affect my day-to-day living. Like, I don't wake up in the morning and think, "What am I going to do if I see a mouse today?" Or, "What if I'm going to do if I'm really high or I see a snake or, you know, this or that?" They just more, I'm scared of them in the moment. And so for tonight, I'm going to call those in-the-moment fears. You're going to get some cool lingo. So that's in-the-moment fears. And if I had a board, I was like, "Oh, I could get a board, and I'm going to write this down." And then I was like, "No, I'm not going to do that." But so that's in-the-moment. But what I realized this summer is that personally, I have a lot more than in-the-moment fears. As I mentioned when I introduced myself, as I mentioned this earlier, I'm a control freak. So people that really know me, like some of y'all right here, know that I really struggle with this. But what I've learned through being in recovery is that my control issues stem from something else altogether. They almost always stem from fear. And this type of fear is deep, and it's a part of my core. And so these fears do affect my day-to-day living, and so I call them my day-to-day fears. So we have in the moment, and if I was right on the board, I would write day-to-day. And they're just a part of who I am. And so I want to spend a little bit of time talking about how our fears manifest. The in-the-moment fears, I think these are a lot more self-explanatory. I don't really understand why we have them and why one person is scared of snakes and spiders or what mice, and then some people aren't. I think it's very interesting, and I didn't look into it, but I am curious about that, like why certain people are scared of these things. But we get it, that there are different things that we interact with that we are fearful of for whatever reason it is. But I do want to spend more time talking about these day-to-day fears just a little bit more, how they show themselves in our lives, And I can think of two ways that they manifest for me personally, and that is through control and through anxiety and worry. Control. Have any of you all ever thought about, or well, first of all, raise your hand if there's a anybody else is a control freak like me. Have you ever thought about why you control things? You know, like I hadn't really ever thought about why I acted the way I do. Have any of y'all thought about why you're control freaks? Yeah, you know. Yeah. Well, for me, I learned this summer that out of fear is when I control things. So when I'm very, very fearful, I will control everything I can. It's like fight or flight. When I go into fight mode, it will manifest itself as control every single time. And so in one way is I struggle with not being enough. And if I'm in a situation where I'm really, like this issue particular is like really high alert, it comes out in crazy mode. So for instance, I work here at the church, but I'm a nurse. I went through nursing school. I have no biblical background education whatsoever other than like small groups and Bible studies and things like that. But if you put me in a room full of my coworkers, my peers that are biblically trained or have been through, you know, seminary or all these college classes or whatever on the Bible, I start to like freak out and my control freakness like just like shows its ugly head. If you put me in a situation like I'm in right now where I'm publicly speaking, I told Wendell, I was like, oh, I can get you a set list for Sunday. He's like, you're trying to control everything. And I said, I know. It's because I'm scared, y'all. I'm scared to death being up here right now. But just pretty much any situation where there's a lot of attention put on me, where I'm like sort of in the light, where people are asking me things, my not feeling enoughness shows its head. And it typically will manifest, like I will try to control something out of it. What this all, like one way it sort of to put it is, it's the fear of being known. I'm scared that if I'm in this meeting with my peers, they're going to think that I'm not good enough because I've not had Bible classes like they have. Or if I'm up here, that I may stutter or I may read my notes. Oh my gosh, what if I read my notes and I didn't have this thing memorized? And I don't, so that's why I'm reading my notes. But so like I want to control how I'm seen so that whoever I'm in the group with doesn't think that I'm not equal to them or that I'm not good enough. And I will control the entire situation if I'm given the chance to. So that's me, but you know, have you thought, you said you had thought about why you have control issues, but have you thought about how many of our issues stem from the fear of being known? And so if I had my board, we have the in the moment fears, because I want you all to remember this crazy lingo. And then we have these day-to-day fears, and it's like part A of day-to-day is the fear of being known, of people truly knowing who we are. And so if there's the fear of being known, I think the other side of that, for me personally, is the fear of the unknown. And so with being known, I control things. I want you to see me a certain way so you don't think that I am not good enough. But with the fear of the unknown, this is where anxiety and worry comes to me personally. With the fear of the unknown, these typically, when I'm like in this situation, it's related to life, death, or just health issues in general. And they're all in my head. So when I get very anxious or when I am really worrying about things, it's always due to fears that are related to these. And these are like the woulda, coulda, shouldas. And once I have the thought, once it enters my brain, it just like it cannot not go away. It's always there. It's like there's this little person in my head that's like tapping me. And he's like, hey, Megan, like you know this could happen, right? But what are you going to do if it happens? And it's like laying in bed, not being able to sleep, just constantly over and over and over. So with the fears of the being known, I always choose fight. I control. But with the fears of the unknown, I choose flight. I want to hide within myself. I want to withdraw from people. When I control things, it's all outwardly. I will try to control my environment. It's about you and how you see things. But when I'm worried or anxious, it's all inwardly focused. It's all about me and how I see things. And I want to say that thankfully, it's a blessing. I mean, I know it's a blessing that I don't struggle with anxiety very often. And I know that and love many people that do. And so I feel like I can't really give this side of it justice as much because I can't go deep because I don't have experiences in this. And I don't want to stand up here and feel like I'm like blowing smoke up your tails because I'm just making this stuff up. And there's people that are sitting in here that worry and are anxious and like it has a true grip on them. So maybe Wendell, yeah, I'm going to throw you under the bus. Can I think you've done it before, but maybe like this is something that you could go deeper on at some point because it's just something that I can't really do. But when I do have these issues, and it may be me and it may be normal, if I'm really, really worried about something or if I'm really, really anxious about something, I will control out of it. So I worry about health a lot. And my son, you all saw him run in here earlier and give me a kiss. If I start thinking about his health, his lifespan, him being sick, I start acting crazy. And so I will control things. So like I will control who he's around. I will control where he goes. I will control all of these things in hope that all these woulda, coulda, shouldas don't come through. So out of my worry, I will control all the time. Every single time. So what do we do? You know, what do we do with these fears? I think that is the magic question. And I think for me, what I've seen people do and what I know of is we have like one of two options when we have these fears. We choose to cover them up or to hide them, or we choose to face them head on. So when we cover it up, I think that we drink, we drug, we eat, we take part in behaviors that probably aren't the best for us. You know, how many times do we do these things? So you take alcohol or sex, porn, drugs, whatever it may be, to medicate ourselves. And then what are we doing? We're trying to cover up these deep-seated fears. How many of our addictions come from trying for years to quieten our fears? And so we can cover it up. We hide from them. Or we can face them. And so I think, Alex, are you ready? We are going to watch a short video. It's super short. It's like 2 minutes. And it is on how a woman chose to face her fears.
facing my 100th fear.
So, I was scrolling through Facebook and I saw this and I thought, ooh, I could show this when I speak on fear, you know? I love how instead of her in the moment and day-to-day fears ruling her life, that she decided to press into those, that she decided to face them and conquer them. A side note, I was trying to find this video so I could show it tonight, because when I found it, it was on a Facebook, somebody's Facebook page. She's done multiple, like, I think she did, like, every day she did, she documented all 100 fears. Like, she quit her job. It was, like, a big deal. And then I don't know if at the end you noticed it, like, that was a TED Talk. That's huge. That's so much more than me sitting in this chair talking in front of my Wednesday at Broadway folks. But just how much courage it took to face those. But what happens to us when we do this? And I think each type of fear yields different results when we face them. I think that the in-the-moment fears, when they're faced head-on, typically they turn out to be not that big of a deal. If you have seen the shows or the documentaries where people face their fears, a lot of times they all turn out the same way, where they're like, okay, well, I faced it, I lived. You know, things lose their scariness after you can say, whatever awful story I had created in my head, and then I face it, it's really not that big of a deal. I lived, I survived. But I think it's the day-to-day fears that are a lot different. Hands down, they take a lot longer to conquer. When we face these fears, we have to really dig deep within ourselves to see, like, why are we having these in the first place? It takes more than petting something or jumping off of something to press into these. Pressing into these types of fears is more of a journey. And I think that that's where being in a recovery or a healing type program or thing like we're in right now here at Pathway, it truly helps. One thing that has came from my journey personally is awareness. I have all kinds of things that I've struggled with. During the last year, I've been in Pathway and I've been in step studies. I haven't fixed myself and I have a really, really long way to go. However, now I have this awareness that I didn't have before. So when I start acting crazy, if you're at my house, you probably several times a week would hear me like holler at my husband like, I'm sorry I'm acting crazy. It's just my issues acting up, like, you know. So I'm very aware of when I'm acting crazy and my issues are all riled up now. But then I also now think, like, why? Like, what is it that's making me think this way? What is triggering me to act this way? And so I dig deeper into that. And it's very, you know, I'm starting to work through even more things just by having to stop and to think and to dig into this self-awareness. So it's been very beneficial for me. What I have learned is as the same with the in-the-moment fears, these day-to-day fears can lose their scariness. As we choose to spend time to invest in ourselves and our recovery, we learn to see the benefits. We see that we are worthy of whatever we initially didn't think we were, that we realize that it is okay to be known, to be truly known. Think about that. Think about the people who you know love you. Like, without a doubt, you know they love you. For me, and I would say for most of us, these are the people who actually know us. You know, truly know us, the good, the bad, the ugly. I have lots of things in my past that I'm not proud of at all. And I have lots of people in my life who, throughout my life, I've really wanted to share my past with. But, for a long time I didn't. But I've decided to face these fears. And what I've found is that as I face these, as I have shared whatever it is that I wanted to share with a safe person, and that's important, it is freeing. And, like, they still love me. They still love me. Even though in all my stuff, every single bit of it, they still love me. So for those of us who struggle with fear manifesting itself as worry and anxiety, I think we have to face these fears with trust. We have to trust that God is with us, and that he will continue to be with us regardless of how we choose to cover up our fears. He's with us when we decide that it's time to face them. In all of our brokenness, God wants us to put our trust into him, just as we are, not when we're better or when we have it all together, but right now in all of our mess, because he loves us in all of our mess. In regards to the fears of the unknown, God never promises easy, and this is something that I have to tell myself over and over again. But he does promise that he will be with us. Fun fact, I did research this, and it was debatable, but there was more non-debatable than debatable, so we're going to go with it. That it is written 365 times in the Bible, "Do not fear, fear not, do not be afraid." And I think it's very interesting that there are 365 days in the year. And so to me, that tells me every day, every single day that I wake up, God is telling me, "Megan, do not be afraid. Megan, I'm with you. It's okay. Trust. Trust in me." And every day, no matter what. So when we put our trust in him, truly put our trust in him, I think that we gain a peace that transcends all of our worry and anxiety. Which, like in facing the fear of being known, this peace leads us to freedom. So I don't know if you're like me and you could use a little freedom or peace in your life. But I hope that just with this talk and me sharing with you that you can find something to take away that will help you, that will help you to take one more step in your journey to finding freedom. So that's all I have in my fear talk. But every time Wendell talks in church, that's outside, he always has shameless plugs. He calls them for Pathway. And so tonight, while I have all y'all's attention, I'm going to give a couple shameless plugs for the other side of the wall, maybe. Every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, we come together in this room, and we have the gathering. And it is a place where people that have left the church or people that are struggling with the church come to ask really hard questions. I mean, today it got deep, real deep. We talk about lots of things. It's a safe place. We typically call it, it's like the morning version of Pathway in a sense. We come together and nothing, you can't, there's not a question that you can't ask. And we can disagree and we still love each other and give each other grace. And so if you are struggling or you have questions, we would love for you to join us. Wendell is part of that. A leader in that. Laura is a leader in that. I am. And then Jason Brown. So we would love for you to join us on Wednesday or Sunday mornings at 11 in this room. And then also, they wanted me to share, excuse me, on Wednesday nights, I coordinate our spiritual formation here at Broadway, and we're about to launch our growth groups. And they wanted me to give you a plug for Alpha. It is a something that you can sort of come into. It was made for people who were atheists, really. Like, that was the gist of why they created it, but that's not really how we use it here. But it's a great way to sort of come in and to learn more about the church. And you get to sit at smaller group tables, and you just get to form a really great community. We would love to have you. It's like there's no stupid question. You could show up every week and not ask a question, and that would be perfectly fine. They have Nikki Gumbel, who's British? Is he British? British, and he's got this fun little accent, and he stands up there and teaches, and it's just a really great time. So if you're wanting to maybe take a step, a pinky toe, into the church, that would be a really great opportunity for you. And so we would love to have you do that, and you can just find me if you want. But then also, and lastly, and maybe more importantly, this Thursday, right? We will, is it too late for people to sign up? No. Okay. This Thursday, we will be starting up our new Pathway Step Studies here on Thursday nights. There's books over there. I think they're $5 a piece. But when I talked earlier about how we can choose to face our fears, to trust, to dig deeper into figuring out why we have the fears that we have or the issues that we have, this is a really great way for you to come together in a small, safe environment to do that, to invest in yourselves, to work on your own recovery and healing. And it's very, very beneficial. And so they would love to have you. So you can sign up after tonight if you want to do that. But that's all I have. So It's the band time, right?